It is my honor and privilege to introduce a very close friend of mine that's inspirational and that I hope that you will really listen closely to, because when she touches your heart with what she has to offer this morning, you will never be the same. I would like to introduce Carrie Perrin Smith, who is the president and CEO of the Northwest Arkansas Speakers Bureau. Welcome, Carrie.
Well, good morning. How are you guys?
Good.
Are we done being sad and we want to be happy for a little bit?
Absolutely.
Tell me some things that have happened this weekend that you thought were great takeaways, things you heard the speakers say, something that really touched your heart that somebody said about you. Talk to me. You are, girl. What else? What else?
I was supportive.
You were supportive? Supportive. And was that an aha for you?
I knew it. It wasn't an aha for the rest of us.
Isn't it funny? Sometimes we don't know the truth about ourselves, but other people get it. What else?
Soaking in the juiciness of life.
Soaking in the juiciness of life. We forget to experience joy, don't we? We just, especially for those of us like me who are task-oriented, we just live to get it done, to check that thing off our list. What else? What else ahas for this weekend?
Be aware of what's around you
and be in the moment. Experience it. What else? Isn't that a huge aha? Because in Willie Johnson's session, he talked about nervousness never goes away. I'm nervous right now, and that's okay. Would you rather have me, okay, if you're not nervous, you're boring. Would you rather me be nervous? It's okay, so I own that. It's about getting butterflies to fly in formation, as Willie Johnson says. What else?
Find the good in everybody
in every situation. Find the good in everybody in every situation. Be thankful for your challenges. In addition to those things that are blessings in your life, right? What else?
We need to continue
getting to the root of my procrastination.
Amen. Getting to the root of your procrastination. Ma'am?
Good things are the worst enemies of the best things.
Good things are the worst enemies of the best things. That's an awesome one. Ma'am?
A small number of people can put on an awesome event.
You better believe it. Woo! Divide and conquer. Be sure and recruit a team, but it can be a lean team. June?
Oh, I was want to encourage everyone to continue to learn and get on the website, as our president has said many times, that there's lots of information out there that I think most of us are missing because we don't take the time to get on the websites and learn.
Exactly. And that's the nice thing about today. With the internet, there's so much information, and your association provides tons of educational type of tools for you. Probably are there webinars out there as well, and teleseminars, downloadable articles, things that you can use with your folks at work. You probably work with people just like you, right? Because you are part of a professional association, it's key that you help bring them along behind you. Mentors learn as much from the mentoring experience as mentees do. Don't wait to be asked to be a mentor. Go out and decide you're going to be a mentor to someone else. I saw a hand over here.
That was me.
Well, oh, I got her with her mouth open, her mouth full. There we go.
I really like Kim's be in the moment.
Be in the moment. I love it every time I hear Kim speak, because she is... She's got such quiet confidence about her, and there's such wisdom, and she's experienced so much. She's earned the right to speak to us, has she not?
Yes.
Everyone in this room has earned the right to speak on something. And so be ready, whenever that moment presents itself, to stand up and share your ideas. You never know when that's going to happen. Well, this morning, I am going to share some tips and techniques with you that are going to help you be more confident and understand your capability and really own that and help other people own it as well and really set you up to fulfill your calling, because that's what we're all really meant to do. There's something that we're meant to do, and maybe we're not doing it. Your theme this weekend has been passion and purpose. I mentioned in my session on Friday that if you aren't passionate about what you're doing, you probably need to make a career change, or someone else will help you make that career change. If you're not passionate, this is the time to really think about that and go, well, you know, am I just being safe? What if I took this risk? What if I went back to school? And then once I go back to school, am I ready to step up and take that challenge? It makes a difference when we make that decision ourselves. Well, don't wait on somebody else to empower you. I'm sure some people would have wished that they could have. I would have waited till they empowered me. But tough. It's easier to go out there and take the chance, take the risk, make the mistake, and learn from that, because we do learn more from our mistakes than we do our successes. So you have to be willing to get out there and fail. Alrighty, so this morning we're going to talk about making a confident first impression. Anybody want to know how to do that? And I'm going to talk to you a tiny bit about building a personal brand, because that's a hot topic right now in professional circles, and there's no reason that every single one of us shouldn't really think about our personal brand. We have one. Every one of us has a personal brand, whether we decided to or not. It's kind of like your company has a culture, whether they're intentional about it or not. Well, your personal brand is something that you can be intentional about as well, and it can define you. We're going to talk extensively about building your own personal truth, changing the way you feel about yourself, and changing that message that goes on in your head. And we're going to fill out a worksheet to get you started on that. And then again, I want to reinforce to you that it's so important that we bring people along behind us. If you're here this weekend, you are a leader in your profession. It's important that you start working with people in that next generation. And even if they're not in the same profession you are, there are people who are entering the workplace that maybe need a little help, a little guidance on how to navigate it more professionally. We have lots of people coming out of college today, and there's nobody that told them maybe how to dress or how to present themselves or how to organize their office or anything like that. So that's something that you can definitely help people like that. Well, I've heard several times this weekend from different people who are afraid to get up in front of a group. And I recall not that long ago being scared to death to get up in front of a group, because I thought that people were naturals and that you eventually quit being nervous and all that stuff went away. And then once somebody told me that it didn't go away, I suddenly said, okay, well, I'm going to go out there and take some chances. Well, I had several times I failed, but there was this one time that made me a little bit more capable of getting up in front of a group without falling apart. I was speaking to a group of business owners at a Small Business Development Center seminar at the University of Arkansas. Well, I gave them my best 10 minutes of wisdom about running a small business. I answered some questions, and afterwards I packed up my things and I went home. Well, I was returning some phone calls and talking to my friend Teresa. Teresa, you are not going to believe what I just did. She said, Gary, what? I just gave a talk to a group of people with a yellow dry cleaning label pinned on the inside lapel of my navy blue jacket. Well, Teresa calmed me down and made me realize that it was not the end of the world. In fact, maybe nobody even saw it. So I realized she was right. I finished my phone calls and I went to the ladies' room, and I realized my pants had been unzipped as well. There you go. So every time I get keyed up about getting in front of a group, I think of that and it sort of lightens the mood and think nothing's going to ever be as bad as that. So next time you guys have to talk to a group, think of that and have a good laugh at my expense. But I do want to give you 8 tips for making a confident first impression. The first tip is to smile. A warm, engaging smile. Not a Cheshire cat grin. but one that makes people feel welcomed by you. Now, I don't know if any of you ever do like I do, but when I run into somebody I haven't seen for a while, I start calculating the years that I've since I've seen them, and how many pounds I've gained or lost, or how much more gray hair I have. And suddenly I'm like worried about what's going on in my head. I'm worried about what they're thinking, and I'm not paying a bit of attention to what they're saying. Well, I learned that if I smile, their eyes never go below my chin. If I smile, there's no chance that they're going to see or notice anything else. Most people don't notice that stuff anyway, but it's in our head that we might, you know, look maybe heavier or grayer than we did the last time. So smile. And speaking of eye contact, make eye contact as often as possible. Be cautious not to leer at somebody because it makes them really scared. But make eye contact. In our culture, eye contact is equated to trustworthiness and respect. So we want to make eye contact. Now, if you're like me and you might be an auditory communicator, there are three types of communicators: visual, kinesthetic, and auditory. Visual communicates by what they see. Kinesthetic communicates by what they touch, feel, experience. And auditory is more likely to communicate by what they hear. When you're an auditory communicator, it's hard to make eye contact because it distracts you. All the visual stimulus distracts you. If you've ever talked to somebody and they look down the whole time they're talking to you and you thought they weren't paying attention, that ever happened? They really are focusing extra hard on you. They want to concentrate on what you're saying. So they are listening, but most people don't realize that. So if you are one of those people, make eye contact as often as you can. I find that it's easier to make eye contact when I'm listening to people. And then I can get away with maybe looking down or looking around when I'm talking. Does that make sense? Tool you can use? Alrighty, the third tip for making a confident first impression is to get an attitude. And I'm not talking about your teenage daughter's attitude. I'm talking about a winning attitude. People want to do business with a winner. They want to be around people who are positive. The economy's not been easy. It's not been, every day is not a good year, or every day is not a good day. It's not a good week all the time. Some years aren't even all that great. And the last couple of years with the economy has been hugely challenging. So many people on the job market. But people still want to be around somebody who is positive and energetic. So be as positive as you can. The fourth tip is to extend a firm, full palm handshake. Not the wet fish handshake. Because, and then, what do you think when you get one of those? And how about that clammy handshake? You want to go get some hand sanitizer, right? My friend Tom Jones says that we all have a broccoli friend. And that's that person who will tell us that we've got that piece of broccoli stuck in our tooth. Ask your broccoli friend about your handshake and find out, what's your handshake like? Is it too soft, too hard? Is it weird and clammy? And find ways to work on that. And ladies, be the first to extend the handshake, because at the end of the day, the handshake still means business. The women's movement has done great things for my generation particularly, but it's created some confusion among people like guys, because they don't know whether to extend their hand, wait for us to extend their hand, or give us a hug. So take the initiative, extend the handshake first. My next tip for making a confident first impression is to stand tall. Your clothes hang nicer, you breathe easier, and breathing is really important when you're nervous. And certainly clothes are important, but you want to dress so that you feel confident. If that for you means that you need to dress like everybody else in the room, then do that. Do your homework. Find out what everybody else wears. For some of us, it means dressing a notch or two above so that we have a chance to feel confident. What we want to do is dress in such a way so that we're not worried about what we're going to make as far as an impression. We want to be able to feel confident that we look good. We don't have to worry about anything. We don't have to worry about our bad hair or if we wore the right clothes or if something's wrinkled or whatever, all that stuff. We want to turn the self-talk off because ideally when we meet somebody else, we want to focus on them and make it about them. And certainly what we wear makes a difference, but nothing looks better on you than a fine set of manners. And I'm not talking about being stuffy and proper. I'm talking about being gracious and engaging and interested in other people. Sometimes the most kind thing that we can do for somebody is when somebody doesn't have such great manners, be gracious to them. So it's all about making other people feel comfortable at the end of the day. And then finally, look organized. Anybody have one of those piles on their desk? Or eight? And you know where everything is, right? If somebody needed something, you'd say, it's in this pile. And you can pull it from the three-fourths of the way down. But people make a judgment about us. Say potentially there's someone looking for a new person in their office that might be a great job for you. And they walk into your office and they're just standing there talking and they're making notes about your office and how organized you are. You may be totally organized, and the people that work directly with you may understand that you are totally organized, but you never know when that next opportunity is going to happen for you. And so you want to make sure that you're prepared. People judge us all the time, and it's not fair, and it's not right, but it is the way it is. And so we have to manage our first impressions. Get all those? All righty, something you can do today, right? There you go. What do you think of when you think of Donald Trump? Hair. Hair. Arrogant. What else? Say that again.
The building.
The building. What else? Successful. Gets it done, doesn't he? When you think of Mother Teresa, what do you think of? Pardon? Passion. Compassion. What else? What else? Humble. I heard something back here. Humility. Gentleness. Say that again. Sorry. Precious? Gracious. Absolutely. It's a perfect word for her. What about Barack Obama? What do you think of when you think of Barack Obama? Energetic. Think about, though, do you realize, when we look at how the Barack Obama campaign came about and his success at the polling places, it was really because he had created a brand. Think about it. He had two books that were out before he actually took office. That's a great way to create publicity. He used social media. He is able to, exactly, he defined himself. So he created this group of followers using Twitter and Facebook. And they're subdivided by animal lovers and men and women and young people. And so he's able to craft a message to them that's exactly what they needed to do to make a winning president. Every single one of us can do that. It doesn't have to be public presence. Now, if you couldn't find me on the internet, you weren't looking. I have a lot of internet presence because I'm intentional about it. But you don't need internet presence necessarily to build a brand. Think about Christine Hildebrand. What do you think of when you think of her? When you think of that name, what's the experience that you had when you were with her? Compassionate. What else? Probably had a servant heart. And is that not one of the values of IAAP?
She was always willing to go that next step.
Exactly. Every single person has an experience with each one of us when they experience us. So they come into our office and they expect a certain thing. When they think of us or think about coming into their to your office, I mean, how do you want them to feel? Do you want them to go, oh my gosh, I have to go talk to this woman again? I mean, aren't there people that you just dread to go talk to? That person has a brand.
I have noticed in today's world, in the modern technology, that you can actually be trying to converse with someone, and they're sitting there twittering, or it's just going out of the
door.
They have no interest in what you're saying at all, and it's becoming more and more obvious with the technology we have today.
It absolutely is.
People are forgetting how to converse and
Exactly. They do forget. Well, and it's really easy to sit there and read about somebody else's life on Facebook and what they're doing. We're interested. There's people out doing things that are kind of cool. I mean, a lot of times I don't post. I'm not going to post about where I'm eating unless it was amazing. I'm a foodie. So I might share that, but I don't care to tell somebody I'm at home. You know, if I'm doing something funny happens in my life, I think somebody's going to say, I go ahead and post that. Or if it's funny enough to share with somebody else will get a laugh at my expense. I'm good with that. Or here's something that we're doing, you know, that's kind of interesting and different. People are interested in us. But we have gotten really reliant on our communication technology. And I talked about that in my conversation session on Friday about, you know, taking that 10-10 challenge and having 10 minutes of meaningful conversation at work every day and 10 minutes of meaningful conversation at home. It is so hard to do that these days with all the things going on in our life, and then we added social media on top of it. We have to be able to engage with other people. That's what creates two-way, face-to-face relationships that have lasting power, the kind of people who would do anything for you. So it pays to be intentional about our brand. Well, a big piece of our brand is believing our own stuff. And sometimes we're believing the wrong stuff about ourselves. There are times when people don't realize just how awesome they are. They don't understand what their strengths are. They think they're something else. And people will say, I think that you're really good at this other thing. Why don't you realize that? It happens to us all the time. And I used to think it was just women, but it's not. It's men too. It's human beings. It's human nature. Well, I talk a lot about conversations, having conversations in conflict and creating interpersonal relationships and having meaningful conversations with people you just met and people that you already know and work with. But probably the most important conversation that we have of all is the conversation that we have with ourselves. And there's evidence of that. In 1902, Charles Horton Cooley conducted a bit of research, and it became his looking glass self theory. Basically, what he said was that we form our perception of ourselves based on what we think other people think about us. Now, doesn't that sound a little silly? Why would we do that? But it happens every day. Here's what it looks like. Okay, I'm here, ready for my interview. I am 10 minutes early, got 3 copies of my resume and my references. I'm wearing my best suit, having a good hair day. This is gonna be awesome. I am so qualified for this job. I mean, I've been interviewing for a while, but I'm so much more qualified than I'm sure anybody else. Oh gosh, wow. It's the hiring manager, I bet. So, I wonder why he frowned at me. Wow, well, you know, it is the end of the day. And, you know, they probably interviewed a whole bunch of people, and they probably actually even made their decision. You know, there's so many people on the job market right now. I don't know, well, even if I don't get the job, it's okay. It was still a good experience just to interview. It was an honor just to be interviewed, really. But, well, you know, and I've still got a great job. I can keep doing my job. So, all right, well, here goes nothing. Does that sound familiar? Do we do that? We don't know why he was frowning. He could be gassy. It's the end of the day. Who knows? It's after lunch. It could happen.
She's got tongues.
I have tongues.
There you go. There you go. Offer him some tongues. Excuse me, sir. You look gassy. Okay, I'll have to remember that. So. Oh, shoot. Well, that's what we do. We base it, but Charles Horton Cooley said we base our perception of what other people think about us, or perhaps our perception of what we think about us based on what other people think about us. And you know, that's just not true. We just don't know. We have no idea why people look at us the way they do or why they act the way they do. They might be having the worst day of their life. And they have to come see you, and it's not your fault. You can help them turn that around, but if you think that they're reacting to you in a bad way, and it's really not anything you did, you're going to carry that. And so you have to turn that loose. It's, you know, do the best thing you can in the moment. And assume that it's not about you. Even if it is, there's some times when there's a possibility that they could be having a reaction to me. But I pretend they're not. Because I can get really wrapped up in that, and then I start the self-talk in my head, and then that affects how I handle everything else the rest of the day, right? Well, what I want you to do is to be conscious about your personal truths. You need to take 3 steps to creating your own personal truth, to creating that own record that plays inside your head. The first step is to stop making assumptions about what other people think. If you want to know, ask. And if you get a compliment, take it so graciously. If you get some feedback, and I lovingly call that the other F word, because we treat it the same way, even when it's good feedback, we don't want it. Be open. With an open heart, and thank them for doing that. We have to create an environment where it is safe to give feedback. Or you'll never get it again, and how are you ever going to improve if you don't know that there's some blind spot that you have? The second step is to create your personal truths as part of your goals. How many of you make goals on a regular basis? See what a small number of people in this room that really is? I was stunned. When I
bet 10%.
You're probably right.
The D's.
The D's. You go, girl. Way to use what you learned this weekend. A very small number of people make goals. And if I point everything back to all the things good in my life that have happened, I can tie a goal to it. And I want more of that. So sometimes I'm over the top with my goals. And you can have too many goals because it starts to spread your attention too thin. But I included on your desk or your table this morning a goal worksheet. We're not going to go through that this morning, but I wanted to send you home with it. It gives you a template for making some goals in the different areas of your life. Note on there that the first part of that goal worksheet is defining your purpose. Now, I've been defining my purpose for a while, but I'll tell you, I really didn't figure out what my real purpose was until my early 40s. But the exercise is still pertinent. Even if your purpose might change in different parts of your life, your purpose might be when you're younger and having kids, your purpose is to be engaged in home. After the kids are grown, maybe it's to be a great encourager to your kids. Help them understand the value and importance of being a parent and how there's probably no other role that is so crucial to our next generation is just parenting or mentoring a young child if you don't have children. But understanding your purpose makes a huge difference to your goals, because if your goals align with your purpose, then they're more likely to be, you're more likely to be successful at achieving those, right? If they're misaligned, you're going to go in different directions. The third step in creating your personal truth is to write them in positive voice and action-oriented. We don't break bad habits. We replace bad habits with good habits. And it takes time. It takes 21 days to form a new habit. And guess what? You're going to fail once in a while. You're going to fall off the wagon. That's why it takes a long time. Practice makes perfect. But you want to write those personal truths as if there's something that's already happening in your life. I have some personal truths that really started out as my goals, and I kept them on my goal worksheet every year because I was achieving them, but I wanted to keep my eye on the ball because we sometimes deal with what's urgent and not most important, and we can take our eye off something that has defined us, and then suddenly we're not doing the things that we need to do anymore that made us successful to start with because we're dealing with this other emergency. So something that, for instance, that I have on my personal truths is that I uphold a solid and moral ethical reputation. I have some things that I'm working on. I too am a procrastinator. My husband in the back of the room will agree, I'm sure. You might recall if you're in my session on Friday that people, we're not like the people that we end up with in life. They're put with us to help us develop character. So, Tom helps me develop character. But here's one for you guys that came to Gary Shealy's procrastination session instead of mine. I ask what is due tomorrow that could be done today. And I'm getting better by remembering to read that on a daily basis. I show up 15 minutes early for everything. Guess what? I'm not chronically late anymore. I'm dangerously close to late, but I'm earlier than I used to be because it became my personal truth. Because I say that to myself, it becomes a decision that I make. When the moment of truth happens, when I have to make a decision about if that I'm going to do that last thing. I'm going to put that last load of laundry in before I walk out the door. You know, all those things that we do that cause us to be late because we think we can cram 10 gallons in a 5-gallon bucket. That helps me remember that, no, I committed that I was going to do that. You have a sheet on your table called a personal truths worksheet. Get that out for a minute. I want to walk you through that. See what we've got for time. Design your new life by defining your personal truths. I give you some tools for brainstorming what your personal truths might be. We talk about things that you do really well. Remember, we want to have personal truths that remind us of the things that have made us successful, so we keep doing those. You know, a lot of times with goals, we just put on there what we need to work on. Personal truths give you a chance to really focus on things that you do well and you want to keep doing, right? What are two values that you hold dear? There are things that you do that if everything else were suddenly different, you would want to be focused on these two values because they're important to you. What are two things you consider necessities? For me, that's health and fitness. I don't enjoy it. I would not say that I really think it's really fun to go to the gym. People go, did you have a nice workout? No, I did not have a nice workout, but it was good for me. I work out so I can do this. Because this is a huge energy sucker. So to get up in front of you, being an introvert as I am, it's really hard. It drains me to be up in front of a group. So think of that. And to me, I figure this is God's gift of life. He gave it to me. I should at least take advantage of it. And if I get called home early, it won't be because I didn't do my part. So I'm going to make a difference as long as I can, as long as I'm here, to whatever that is. And if it's one person, if it's just my family, that's okay. If it's just the people that I work with, that's okay too. If it's to a community, or to the world, so be it. It's about being ready. So, finally, there's what two things do you need to improve? And think about that. So, when you turn over on the back, it's your turn to write. And you can do a lot of this later. It'd be a nice thing to do on the way home if you rode with other people. Good discussion points, too. Pick one of these, either a behavior or action that you do really well, values that you hold dear, things that you consider to be necessities, or things that you need to improve. Pick one of those. Alrighty, write something in there that fits whichever one of those choices that you made. And now we want to write a personal truth about that, as if it is already happening. I do this. And it helps for it to be a little quantifiable. Doesn't necessarily have to be. Is anyone finished with one that they'd like to share? So we can hold you accountable? Anybody want to share theirs?
I have fitness.
You have fitness?
4 to 5 times a week.
Okay. So yours is structured as I work out 4 to 5 times a week. You see how that works? In her mind, when she reads that every day, I work out 4 to 5 times a week. And that's a great reminder, isn't it? It becomes truth. It's like, okay, this is on my agenda. I'm going to do it today. I'm going to get this out of the way, maybe. Or I would procrastinate and wait till the weekend. So, what else? Anybody else have one they want to share? Okay.
I don't know if everyone would consider it a value, but compassion. I put on here, no one is perfect. Everyone makes mistakes. And my first truth on it is forgiveness. Bottom line, let it go.
I let things go. That's what that looks like. There you go. And see, that's how you make it concise. It's your value. This is important to you. I let things go. So when you're in that moment where you're dwelling on something and it's just eating you up, you go back to your personal truth because you've read it so many times every day. Every day, you want to read through these. And you say, I let things go. Excellent. You get that? All righty. Does that help? Is that something you can do? Don't just stick this in your folder and go home. Y'all, I have resources I have a lot of articles and things. If you have company newsletters or anything, on my website, I put my card out there. There's articles that you can use for free if you'd like. So please use that as a resource. There's also 60-second commercial worksheets, things like that. And I also send out an e-zine, so if you would like to stay connected to me, I don't send it out really frequently. It's not nearly as frequent as I aspire to. So you can fill that out. And then I will add you to my email distribution list. And so when I have a new article, I share that. When we work on ourselves and change the self-talk in our head, we suddenly realize that we are people of value and that we can bring other people along behind us. Drawing from the hospitality industry, I have a friend here named Tony Luchin. Some of you might know Tony, might have worked with her in real estate at some point. She works in the hotel industry now, and she worked at a hotel a couple of streets down. And Tony is just a warm person. She has no desire to really be in a leadership position, but that woman is a leader. She is powerful. there was a new young lady that came to work at her hotel. She was a front desk clerk, and maybe, if I remember, she worked on second shift. And so Tony saw the potential in Crystal. And Tony worked with her on being more confident and presenting herself in a different way so that people perceived her differently. And soon, Crystal was able to feel differently about herself. And she let that show in the work that she did. And she reached out to the customers and took care of the customers in an excellent way, got great ratings, makes our hotel look awesome. When they get those surveys back, they get great ratings because of Crystal's work. Well, Tony was so proud of Crystal's progress that she nominated her for an award. And just this last year, she was named the 2011 Arkansas Hospitality Employee of the Year for Arkansas. How huge is that? Where all she was is this girl who was showing up for an hourly job. And she didn't have a view that this could be a career. Crystal could be running a hotel someday because Tony reached back and helped her. We don't have to have a title to be influential. If I leave you with nothing else today, remember that some of the most important things we can do without a title because we're not tied down to responsibilities. We can reach out to every single person in our office just by simply having a conversation. Obviously, you can see I'm passionate about this, so. But I do have some books in the back of the room. If you want to learn more, obviously there's stuff I can't share with you in this small time frame. It has been my honor to work with this committee this year, the awesome group of people, my ray of sunshine, the glue that held everything together, great members of the committee that really did a bang-up job. This is a beautiful facility. And there was times I went, can you guys afford this? And they managed to negotiate on your behalf so that you and raise money with that educational program. So it was so exciting. And they picked those topics for you guys. Because I wanted you to have a great experience, because it's not just the money that you spend here, it's your time. You could have been home, sitting on the porch, reading a romance novel. You could have been doing all kinds of things, but your time mattered to them. So I thank you for making the trip here. It was my honor to serve you today and to help out with the folks and bring speakers in this weekend that were valuable to your professional development and your personal development as well. So I'll be around after the session if you want to stop by and visit, ask me questions. I coach, so I'm always glad to answer a question on the fly. Thank you very much.